Tripper Stories.
Yo, yo, slut club. We are back this week. Motherfucking hump day. It is Tripper Stories, everything sex and sluttery discussed here. So welcome fucking back. Last week I had an absolute ball talking to Mariella from Babe Station, outlining another sex industry job that is really fucking interesting to me. All of them are coming out of the woodwork at the moment during Corona. But dare I say it, mention that fucking word again. And this week during Corona, I have been watching a little program, which I found very fucking interesting that I want to share with you guys, called Unwell on Netflix. Now, it's got everything on there to do with wellness and health. There's lots of different episodes on things like bulking up with breast milk. Yes, I said breast milk, bee sting therapy for Lyme's disease, ayahuasca, which I found really fucking interesting, tantric sex, which I'm going to talk about now. So yeah, it's a pretty cool season from Netflix. I mean, obviously the gentrification, I keep talking about sex work. It's coming out in the media a lot more now, and now people are deciding to make lots of programs on touching on more abstract versions of the sex industry, variations of the sex industry, should I say. And tantric sex being the one that I watched first, obviously. I wanted to wet my whistle with that one. And it didn't disappoint. I learned a lot. Dr. King, if you're listening to this, obviously I'm going to get a few fucking things wrong in this, so do not quote me. But for a novice who doesn't really know too much about tantric sex, it was fucking fascinating. If you haven't watched it, please go and fucking watch it. I was flabbergasted by some of the things I witnessed. And some of the people that are on there as well. So they kind of say in the beginning of this Unwell episode on tantric sex, it's about good sex with the promise of wellness. It invokes full body orgasms and the cultural appropriation of people selling tantra. Like, it kind of freaks me out a little bit. The people online selling tantric sex workshops and things like that via Skype. I'm not really sure how that works. I mean, personally for me, I'm sure a lot of my listeners out there have actually even tried this. So please fucking get in touch and tell me how the fuck this happens. But because of it, and because of the kind of subjective nature of tantra, there's no shortage of sex scandals when the product you're selling is sex, right? So in this program, it's very importantly states and highlights the dangers in people selling tantra too. And the people who have been like sexually abused and taken advantage of, really sadly, through wanting to and aspiring to create sexual wellness for themselves and learn sexual wellness from others. So it starts off with this fucking woman, right? And I can't even, like, she, I mean, I'm pretty sure all of you will feel the same. Her name is Sasha Cobra, and she lives in Mexico, and she says that she lives in a town where there's loads of UFO sightings that she believes are a thing, right? Fine. And she's like, I look up at the sky. Now, this is her voice. I'm not doing it very well, but this is the kind of vibe. I hope it irritates the fuck out of you like it fucking did to me. I look up at the sky some days, and I feel my body. Now, body. She highlights and talks about her body and helping other people's body through creating orgasmicness. She actually uses that term. She wants to evoke people's orgasmicness in their bodies. Now, she's a proper hippie. She lives in a fucking shack in buttfuck nowhere, and she has created this project called The Work. And she says that she's got no formal training. Hint, hint, cough, cough. Which, I mean, I don't really know in tantra, do you need that? Question mark. We don't know. But she's like, I learnt from someone online, a guru who was not mentioned, which is suspicious in itself. And she's like, my bad. baddie just found its calling. Honestly, every time, it literally makes my skin crawl, the amount of times she says the word baddie. So she moves on and she talks about, they do a little like screenshot of her work online profile. She charges, now wait for it, $225 per hour via Skype to groups of people all looking to become an orgasm. Now she actually says that she wants people to become an orgasm. Oh God, it's like fucking mental. And like she genuinely, she's like, if the baddie says cry, you cry. If the baddie says laugh, you laugh. And all of these people, so they basically all paid $225 per hour to have a Skype session with this fucking woman in the middle of a UFO fucking popularized town, while she's contorting on a bed in a white outfit, giving people or helping people become an orgasm like The Exorcist would. Like, she's literally, her body is like convulsing like a fucking, I don't even know what. It's like a lamb to slaughter. She's like, oh, the body. No, not the body. It's like, meh. It's fucking strange, okay? She says that all of her people who sign up to this, I don't know what you would call them, all turn into an orgasm. Now, she also says that these people come to her because they've got some sort of like sexual block or like sexual issue. And I'm all for it. Like, if you've got a problem, like a therapist, for instance, I see a therapist, there's nothing fucking wrong with that. You know, if, and that's all subjective in itself as well, right? So it's kind of like a sexual therapist she's kind of like coming across to me as. But the prices and like just what is going on this TV screen that I'm watching, these people are literally all led down with their faces on Skype, and she's led down as well, and she's like, relax your neck, Mark, relax your vagina, Bethany. And they're all like breathing and mooing like cows trying to become this orgasm. And afterwards they all just sit up and they're like, thank you. No, she's more like, thank you, I see you in your bodies next week. And they're like clapping, and it's like, I mean, they all feel good about it, but it fucking doesn't seem right to me that this woman is genuinely like helping people via Skype, just breathing and mooing like cows. It's just, it almost seems like a cult thing. That's exactly what it seems like an occult thing. But I mean, guys, I mean, they have it for couples as well. So if you guys are feeling it, go on The Work online. She charges £275 in person if you wanted to go to the shack in the middle of buttfuck nowhere and see her in her weird little outfit stroking your baddie. So yeah, I mean, that's the first thing you do encounter on this program. It does get better, though. I mean, not that that is awful, because it was very fucking entertaining to me. Then it kind of goes on to explain what Tantra was and where it came from. And it's kind of like from about 500 AD, started in India, and then it moved on to Asia and then to Europe and the USA for the last like 100 years or so. And in the early stages, apparently it was to control and attract female beings called yoginis or dokinis. I think I'm getting that right. And in Tantra, the guru kind of offers themselves up to these beings. They're meant to be like demons. This is what like Tantra was basically like derived from. These demons who are scary and they want to eat you and inhabit your body and, you know, like, I don't know, inhabit your soul, right? So apparently the gurus offer themselves up to these beings. And because apparently in 7 or 8 lives, if you get eaten by one of these things, you become like a superhuman, like a super powerful, all-knowing, all-everything, right? So I guess that's where the, I don't know, what you hear about on the TV from all these crazy fucking gurus thinking they are literally like a god on earth. Maybe that's where it comes from. I don't fucking know. But apparently the initiation back in the day into Tantra was to drink the semen of the guru and the excretion of the period fluid from the yogini. And you drink it in a cocktail, like their fluids, because apparently it brought you power. Just fucking blows my mind. I mean, I drink a lot of cum on an everyday basis. Does that fucking mean I'm in? I don't fucking know. I mean, oh, that's a lot for me to hear. But it almost reminds me of that Midsummer program, that Midsummer TV show, actually, if anyone's watched it, where they drink the period blood at this kind of initiation ceremony. Oh, just fucking bombs me out. And then next, we meet this woman called Michaela Boehm. I don't know if some of you might have heard of her. She's apparently an intimacy expert and scholar who's actually worked with some celebrities like Gwyneth Paltrow, Will and Jada for like 2 years. And we all know about their fucking sex life. So she's a kind of advocate for Tantra, but it being nothing sexual, more about the personal connection that you have with the other person as human beings. Nothing, and sex kind of derives from that. So it's nothing to do with being an orgasm or having a full body orgasm, none of that shit. She's all about connection with another human and it being, you know, breathing the same breath, very yoga vibes, which is kind of the thing that she kind of lets off a little bit. And she's very pro about, like I said, human connection. And she says that in a world now where sex is becoming one of the most important things in people's relationship, and I do fucking agree with this, it's not just the quality of sex, it's the connection that you have first and foremost, and then the quality of sex obviously from that gets better. So that's kind of what she's kind of selling here. She's like, if you get the human connection right, all the sexual shit will follow. It's not about going on a fucking online course and getting your first orgasm with yourself, or I don't know, talking about the body. She's a little bit more realistic, and someone who I actually feel like, I mean, Jada and Will, good for you, Hans. It feels like she's talking some sense. So she has these kind of group therapy sessions where couples will go, even friends will go, and connect with each other on a deeper level from touching and just being in a spiritual, I guess, environment and zoned in environment with each other, which, I mean, it looked like people were fucking enjoying, to be honest. But the program does keep coming back to the cultural appropriation of Tantra and the fact that people are now selling it, not knowing anything about the history of it, what it really means to practice Tantra. And it's kind of this neo Tantra that is this kind of new age version of it that is kind of moved on from India and Asia into Europe and the USA, which is kind of a mixture between yoga, or like orgies and fucking going away on these retreats, and paying fuckloads of money and having like great sex and leaving it with sexual enlightenment, which is just completely not, from what the program says and from what I've read about, is not really the true meaning of Tantra. Then the program continues to its final part about the abuse of Tantra and the idea of Tantra being used as a weapon, seeming that women are not being spiritual enough if they decline having sex. So that is a way in which it can be used for and in a negative way. Tantra obviously can have so much potential for abuse and like pushing yourself beyond your boundaries. And it kind of finishes off with a story about a woman's personal experience called Saskia Mala. And she was looking for, you know, some sexual enlightenment for the higher meaning of things, and she was searching for schools to learn Tantra in, and she found a place called Agana Retreat in Koh Phangan. Now, I've been to Koh Phangan in Thailand for the full moon party, might I add, and it is a fucking, one, an amazing island, beautiful, but it's fucking full of partiers, and it's pretty great, like, for a good old slosh sesh. However, on the side of the island, there is a place called Agana Retreat, founded by, wait for it, Narcissus Tarakau. Tarakau. I mean, that's just a fucking mouthful in itself. But yeah, so she attended this retreat in Agana, called Agana, in Koh Phangan, where she experienced very heavy abuse from the guy who's founded it and teaches all the lessons there. One therapist who comes on and speaks about it, she's like, you know, anyone who goes into these foreign places and is being taught by someone who's so revered and so respected in this foreign teaching, he uses all these, you know, technical terms for female body parts like the yoni. I mean, obviously now in our everyday culture, it's used in, you know, it's more popularized, but yeah, he kind of got away with it by fluffing up and using these foreign words to mask it as a technique, you know, and things like rape were called sexual healing and sexual assault was called finding enlightenment, you know. So it was a very dangerous place for women to be, because they were there to find things like enlightenment and to heal themselves from sexual trauma that have happened in their lives. And, you know, this girl, Saskia Mala, the woman that, you know, this section of the program is on, she, you know, had some childhood trauma with her father. So she went to this seemingly safe place with this seemingly revered guru and was prey to these types of this sexual assault by using words like sexual healing and enlightenment to cover it up. It's a fascinating program and it taught me a lot. And yeah, if you guys want to check it out, it's on Netflix. It's called Unwell. It's not completely serious. I'm obviously like, the end of it is very serious point and a very serious problem. But it definitely taught me a lot about humans and Tantra in general. So yeah, have a little look. There's loads of other stuff on there. Another one that I would definitely suggest is the bulking up with breast milk. That was, I mean, I was eating my dinner through a lot of that and I had to put it down. So be aware. And the bee sting therapy for Lyme's disease, fascinating as well. So yeah, check it out, guys. Now I'm going to move on to something a little bit more lighthearted. Jerk off instructions, JOI for the very technically minded. It's something that I came into contact with via CAM, which is my job at the moment. And a lot of men on there, I'm sure a lot of women as well, but I'm yet to encounter one, call me for jerk off instructions. They like to be told what to do, when to eat their cum, when, like, a countdown when they're going to come. How do we feel about this? I mean, I'm naturally a more dominant person, submissive with the right person. That's what I always say. And I do like the fucking sound of my own voice, hence the fucking podcast. So I don't actually mind jerk off instructions. It took a bit of practice. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, now grab onto your balls. Tell me how full they are for me. I mean, it's not the most natural thing. Normally, when you're with a person, you're actually doing it for them. So to be fully clothed and just give instructions via CAM, fucking fascinating. And it does matter. I mean, it's probably the same as having phone sex, right? I mean, a lot of the time I've had fucking phone sex. I've not been doing jack shit over the other side of the phone. I'm just like, oh yeah, baby, that feels so fucking good. Oh yeah, deeper, deeper, harder. I'm fucking myself and fisting my arsehole. No. Most of the time I'm drinking green tea and just like listening to them. It doesn't really do it for me as much. I need to see things. Jerk off instructions, though, however, is via cam. And yeah, a lot of them like the countdown. So they'll be like, count me down to come. And I'll be like, 10, 9, and we're going to do it. It's almost like the kind of at the races, like, come. It just reminds me a little bit of that. They're just like, on the other side. Yeah, I kind of enjoy it. I mean, it's quite a powerful feeling. I don't know whether couples, I mean, for me, I would actually quite like this if you were just like opposite your boyfriend or girlfriend and you were like, you know, wank yourself off like that, touch yourself here. Like, that's kind of hot. That's kind of tantra. Tantra. That's like a neo version of tantra. It's almost like getting connected without touching each other, and kind of telling the other person what you want them to feel without actually touching them. Kind of a bit of a turn on, yeah, especially when you can see the person via phone. Like I said, does nothing for me. My lady boner is literally dragging on the floor, and not in a good way. So yeah, I mean, let us know how you fucking feel about that. I mean, I got asked this week to give jerk off instructions to a, well, apparently, right, they didn't turn the camera on, so I think this is just someone's fucking sick fantasy. A son and their stepdad who are wanking together. Now, okay, I was a bit like, that is fucking off. And I hope that you're of legal age, because clearly, I mean, I didn't ask, but I'm pretty sure they were, because that would have been fucking horrendous. But, you know, like I said in podcast, maybe 3 or 5 or something, you know, you do have those people online who do push the limits where it comes to that. You know, I don't mind age play. And I'm sure a lot of us have done role plays in the bedroom where you're like, daddy, or like, I'm going to fucking spank your naughty body, you naughty girl. You know, like, I'm sure that we've all done it, right? But you don't ever, I mean, I draw the line is animals, like I've said, fucking bestiality, absolute fucking not. And age, because that just does not, it's not right, okay? And I would never condone that. However, so I had this stepson, so I'm saying he's 21, and the stepdad who's like 70, jerking off together, like, yeah, not touching each other, but apparently they shot cum on each other at the end. Oh my God, can you fucking believe it? So yeah, I mean, online there is a myriad of different types of jerk off instructions with different types of people. And as colourful as it may be, I never judge anyone on their specific kinks and likes. And it does make for a fucking good podcast. So jerk off instructions. If you don't know what it is, if you don't know how to do it, have a little look online. There's even little forums on like what to say and how to say it. Maybe next time you're in the fucking bedroom with your boy or girlfriend, you can just be like, sit back and just powerfully say, now I want you to grab your balls and tell me how full they are for me. Now I want you to slowly touch your penis. No, you would not say fucking penis. You would say cock or dick. But you can, you know, you could use your fucking female power and male power. You could be like, bend over and show me that clitori or whatever the fuck you want, right? I would definitely suggest it if you want to spice up those bed sheets. And talking about jerking off and blowjob techniques, because obviously I love to talk about this all the fucking time. Two hands, twisty, twisty, twirly, twirly. I'm all about the two hands at the moment. I don't know about the rest of you. Grabbing on the balls with one hand, two hands on the dick whenever you can. I mean, Caitlin Girl Wasted, she gave me a little tip on her version of my podcast, well, her guest on my podcast a couple of weeks ago, that little banjo string. I found that with my tongue and been like, oh yeah, she had a freaking point. Okay. I mean, yeah, it's a real thing. I mean, I'm sure different banjo strings are different. They play different tunes. Oh, funny. They play different tunes to some other banjo strings, but I mean, preferably I'd want a small banjo string. You don't want a big dangly, dangly thing that hits the back of your throat, do you? Absolutely not. So yeah, moving the fuck on. This week, I have had a little voice note from from one of our holes, one of our listeners, obviously anonymous to my fucking grave, but she sent me some voice notes about her first experience with a sugar daddy. Now, I think this would be very helpful for anyone who's thinking about it or wants to know what a first experience is like, what sort of money is involved, things like that. So, I might even do a podcast in the next couple of weeks about how to go about getting a sugar daddy, and the best websites to go on, and also the cam sites to go on. Because I mean, I think if I had ever had a help of any kind, those two things would have been a fucking godsend, because I just faffed around and didn't know what the fuck I was doing for years on end. So let me know, guys, if you want me to do that mix that into a podcast the next couple of weeks. I would love to do that for you guys, seeing as there may be a second lockdown coming. We are not sure. Fingers fucking crossed there isn't. So yeah, now I'm going to play for you these voice notes. Now, they've been sent on Instagram. So obviously we all know when you've been sending your jerk off instructions that the Instagram only allows it for a minute. So she's literally popping in and out and in and out. It's only about a 5 minute long voice note. So take a fucking listen, have a little listen to her experience. She's been really fucking open and actually very funny. So here it is.
So basically, I never really talk about this kind of stuff because it's like, you know, I literally only talk to my best, like my close friends about this. But I remember my first experience happened like so randomly. As in, I was not 100% not expecting to meet up with anyone from the site. Honestly, in my opinion, I was just like, okay, I'm in lockdown, I'm going to use that as an excuse and see what whoever's going to like give me free money for like just playing with them online. And I remember literally the second, so I literally got, I went onto the website in like, I'm going to say like the 1st of May, and I hadn't really been on it for a while, and then I was writing my dissertation in June, and I think, yeah, that's when I went back onto it properly. And the first person that messaged me was the guy that I actually ended up meeting. You know what, sis, this is going to be so long, I'm so sorry, but you wanted the story, so I'll just say it. So he was like, yeah, let's talk on the phone, which we did. And then after the phone call, he was like, so how many gazillion trillion pounds do you want? And I was like, I don't know, to be honest, I just want help with rent and like groceries, you know. I was really low-key at first, and he was like, yeah, sure. And then he sent me £200 and was like, hopefully this, you know, hopefully with this you won't find anybody else, you know, you won't go looking for other people or whatever, something along those lines. And I was like, okay, interesting. Anyway, so after I finished my dissertation, I meet up with him. And because, you know, we were in lockdown during that time, and I was like, you know what, fuck it, I feel bad, this guy's giving me money, I can't, you know, all my friends are like, just get the money and leave, you don't need to meet up with him. But in a way, I was like, you know, this is just, he just seems normal. So anyway, we met up in a church, worst place ever. Sorry, that's a weird, I don't know why that went through. But basically, so, okay, a bit of story about me. Basically, I'm from, like, a really strict, like, Catholic family and, like, you know, and I think the whole, like, you know, being a sugar baby thing happened because I just felt like, oh my gosh, you know what, I just want to, you know, just be different. Like, I think that's probably what actually drove me down this road. It's, like, the whole kind of, like, strict parents and all that jazz. And anyway, so being in a church was just, like, the worst thing for me. I just felt so bad, but it was close to home, and I was like, yeah, let's just better be safe.
My girl met a sugar daddy in a church. That's fucking right, a church. Girlfriend, I feel you there. Nice, safe environment. And I totally get the fact that, I mean, I came from a strict Catholic background. We are always ending up doing this type of thing. I mean, I think it's just a kind of rebelling thing in our minds, and also we were so repressed. So yeah, fucking get ya.
Be safe and sorry. So I met up with him in the church, which was like a public place, but not too busy. and, you know, had a cute little park and sat down, and he asked me, like, do I take drugs, do I have tattoos, and I don't know why he was asking me those questions, but anyway, I was like, no, and then we go for a drive, and this is the weirdest bit. So during this day, he starts talking about his... So, basically, he's like a farmer. Basically, this was in... Oh, I shouldn't give locations. But it's basically, like, in the country, because my parents have this, like, holiday house there. And he was literally just... Anyway, so in his... In the area that I stay in is just, like, you know, it's, like, lots of farms and, like, just old person's town. Anyway, so he was telling me about his farm and told me he had an ostrich on his farm. Oh, my gosh, I hope he doesn't listen to this. But anyway, he had an ostrich on his farm, and like then he started talking about his dead mum. And yeah, that's when it was interesting, because I was like, what does this guy actually want from me? Because, you know, he let me into his car, he gave me some sweets, which was also a bit creepy, but anyway. So we were just sitting, telling me about his mum, his farm, his brother. And I was like, oh, you know what, life changes, and, you know, death is a part of the life, it's all right, like, you know, I bet you she is thinking of you from wherever she is. But anyway, like, it was just weird. Then, at the end of the day, he freaking gave me, so the first time he went up, he gave me 300 for doing God knows what, just talking about his dead parents and farms. And then the second time we met up, that's when, you know, I tried to dress a bit cute. I was like, okay, let's actually do this. I trust this guy. And what do we do on the second day? Yeah, we just did a whole drive around. And anyway, so he basically took me to, like, his land. Okay, this is just so weird. I'm basically a city girl, so it's just weird, like, being with this country guy. But anyway, so he took me to his land, and there was a really pretty view, and it was so nice. And we just kind of, like, just chilled in the car. And then we ended up kissing, which was, funny enough, I really do think I'm motivated by money. Like, I really think you guys should talk about that. How, like, literally, if a guy puts, like, £1,000 in your hand, it just makes him so much more attractive. Anyone that's gonna come for me and be like, oh my gosh, you're such a gold digger, oh my gosh, who are you, you know what, they can just shush their pipe holes, because it's actually a fact, we all know this. Hey, sorry, I'm just saying hi to someone. But like, yeah, no, it's actually a fact. Like, literally, when he
I love the fact, can I just pause it there, that she is walking down the street telling me all this shit, and then her friend just walks by and she's like, hey, right, I'm gonna carry on talking about being a hoe. I'm like, yes, this is what we have to deal with on an everyday basis. We've got two sides to us. I fucking love this. Carry on, hun.
When he put that money in my hand, oof, oh my gosh, like, literally, I was like, yes, daddy, what do you want to do? Like, I just completely changed. But anyways, we did our little thing. And then what happened? Yeah, so he gave me 500 that time, which is just like, we didn't even sleep together. It's crazy. Anyway, so after that, then that's when I left the place I was at, and I went, like, to probably go home. And yeah, that's like the last I ever saw of him, because, you know, I didn't really stay in that area. And I did kind of say, you know, I'll let you know when I'm back, which I haven't gone back yet, but... Yeah, like, you won't actually understand, like, in the daylight, I am such a good girl, and I'm, you don't understand, it's just, yeah, I actually live a double life.
Okay, first of all, she is such a freaking vibe. She outlines here how we all feel if we work in the sex industry, and all for those people listening who don't work in the sex industry, you can kind of hear it. Like, she's walking down the street, she's talking to me about this double life she's having. She's brought up as a Catholic girl. She meets her first sugar daddy in a church. I'm like, what? That is fucking mental. But it's honestly something that I probably would have done too. It's like, right, okay, my my double side, my slut self is going back to my normal self, right? So it makes sense. And I mean, good on her. She's very, very eloquent, and I back her all the way. And I fucking love the fact you sent me your first ever sugar daddy story. And you know what, right? That's a lot of money to be getting. And I think in this day and age, with Corona being such an issue, sex work is on the rise. And so any of you out there, I mean, I got in contact with this girl through the podcast. She approached me and told me how she felt about the podcast and that she really enjoyed it. And then she asked me for advice. And I was like, do you have any stories yourself? I would love to air them, and I would love to listen to your experiences. Because for me, it's all about sharing and normalizing sex work of any kind. And she is, I will give her a name, Princess Z. Princess Z is my babe, And she is, she outlines perfectly how coming from a certain type of background, you do worry about yourself, or at least check yourself when you do these types of jobs. I did exactly the same thing. I went to a Catholic school my whole freaking life. And so I do constantly feel like, even with this podcast, I'm living a double life, right? No one knows my real name. That's number one. Chloe isn't my real name. That is my stripper name. So that is my double life. You know, this podcast is somewhere I can vent and feel free and talk about my true self and the side of me that I, you know, and I hope that all of you like enjoy hearing about. And that's why we have the podcast. We have the Instagram. Please email us podcast@stripperstories.com or Stripper Stories Podcast on Instagram. Let me know any of your stripper stories, your first experiences with anything, or if you're just reaching out for advice, I'm here. I am freaking here for you girls. So thank you, Princess Eve, for sending that in. You are my babe. And I appreciate you being so open. On being open, I have experienced something different today that I really want to share with you all before we end this fucking podcast. Now, I was working today while I've been recording, and I encountered a Lovens. I don't know how to pronounce it. I've just got the app on my phone. It's called Lovens Remote, which is a remote control dildo that you can control remotely, basically. But we're not talking like one of those handheld ones that you put in your girlfriend's vagina and then you have the remote control in your pocket at the dinner table and have it shake it about, you know, okie cokie and shake it all about. And then she feels this little punching in her pussy. No, we're talking about like me over cam. So like I had a cam customer. He was like, would you like to control this butt plug in my arsehole? And I was like, abso-fucking-lutely. How the fuck do I do this? Now, I know that these have been around for a while. I have never personally used one. I don't own one myself, but definitely after this experience, I will fucking buy one. Right. I'm going to give you my review on the Lovens. Please correct me because I don't know how to fucking say it. From the controller, not from the receiver because I haven't tried one yet, but he fucking made me download this app and it's called Lovens and I'm logging in. Let me log in. I'm logging into my Lovens. Okay. Logging in. Now, you log in, you set it up. It takes about 5 minutes. He was literally waiting on cam for me while I did this. You then, there's like some buttons down the bottom and it's called long distance and you click on the long distance and then you request someone's, I mean, it's almost like kick. You don't really need to have their number or anything. You just have a Skype name kind of thing. You put your little name in, so this person's name, he gave me his name, and you click on it and I clicked on it and we're friends now. And it says on there what type of dildos he has. So he's got the something dildo and the dildo. It's not like butt plug and fisting hand. They're called like special names. You're going to have to know like which product you're using. It took me a while to get it, but there's some very fucking good things on this app. Anyway, download it, guys. And so basically he was like, right, you can remote control my fucking butt plug. He had a butt plug and he had a wand. And I was like, great. So this thing is by touch, so you can like vibrate it when you put your finger on it up and down, and you can see it's like kind of done with like sound waves-esque on the app, so you can see how far you're pushing it. Now, this guy literally looked like he was losing his mind on the camera. I was just sat there in my pajamas, like using this fucking app. I was like, this is real new age shit. Like, I don't know whether this came out pre or post corona. I'm thinking it's probably pre corona. But it is an absolute godsend. So if you are away from your partner or you've got a new Tinder date or you've got, I don't fucking know, your mum's dad's brother's best friend wants to fuck you, you can always send them into the Lovens app and get them to remotely vibrate your dildo. It is fucking mental. It's blowing my mind. I loved it. I actually freaking loved it. Like, he loved it as well. And it honestly made me, like, excited for the future, because I swear to God, I love a dildo more than anyone. So if this is where the fucking future is going, sign me up. The next thing I'm going to be getting, if there's anybody out there who wants to buy me a fucking Lovins, I don't think they're very, very pricey, but I think they're on the higher end. You can literally download this app onto anybody's phone and they can remote control your own fucking dildo. I know lots of girls on cam are doing this at the moment, and I'm sure probably a lot of the dudes who listen to my podcast, because there are a lot of you. I see you, and I'm literally hands up to you all. I'm sure you probably experienced it, like, online, if you're an avid cam watcher with girls who own this Lovners. So yeah, I mean, again, like I said, fucking loved it. If anybody's got any good stories on using the remote control dildo, fucking ping me an email, podcast@stripperstories. I just wanted to share that with you guys, because honestly, it blew my fucking mind. And yet again, I have loved this episode on the freaking Happy Hump Day. Thank you for tuning in to Stripper Stories yet again. I will see you next motherfucking Wednesday. Bye, hoes. Bye. Bye. Bye.